Doug, how you doing? I forgot my water. I talk a lot. I need water.
Did you bring me some? Okay, never mind. It's good that you take care of yourself.
Oh, and it's cold. Whoo, that's good. Jeepers creepers. Douglas, I offered you water, and you said I only drink coffee.
Yeah, well, I...
And that's where we ended it.
I want you to... This morning, for those of you who know what happens to me every Sunday at this church, I take a shot across the bow every Sunday. Whether I'm here or not is irrelevant. I have a shot go across my bow. So my grandson, Jaden, came up to me today and looked me in the eye, said, "Stand up like a man and don't take it from Claudio."
Jaden, I bug because I love. It's my life motto. Ask anyone that's close to me.
If you look down, you'll see that the leg of his chair is really close to the edge. By design.
Good morning, everybody. It's like a comedy show sometimes up here, isn't it? Sometimes, I know. I don't know why they keep giving me the mic, but here we are. Hey, so glad you guys are here. Thanks for worshiping. Oh, look at this.
Thank you, Jordan.
Unbelievable.
That's so nice.
We're done now. Hey, I'm so glad that you guys are here this morning. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. Thanks for just being part of what we're doing here. This morning, we're going to continue with our conversation that Tim and I started last week. Tim and Barbara are away. They're on holidays, having a bit of a break. Riding the Harley-Davidson across the world, apparently. And so I can't imagine that is probably super comfortable. But if you've seen Tim's Harley-Davidson, it's like an airplane. So he's probably doing all right. And so Tim and I, we started this conversation last week. And what we were doing over the last week and this week is we wanted to share with you kind of what we came up with through our vision casting and our vision exercises that we did as a church. And just a quick reminder, what it was over the last several months is we broke out teams of different demographics. We put them all together, and then we did vision nights, and we did this exercise through those vision nights. Hey, and the main question that we asked was, what do you think Jesus could do with this church in 5 years? Or what could this church look like in 5 years if we let Jesus have his way? And that was the question that we were answering. And what's that?
We got a clap.
Oh, did we? Oh, let's go, baby. We're already ahead of the game. We're already ahead of the game. So that, he thought I was done. He was copying me off the stage. So that's the question that we were asking. And you guys answered it. It wasn't just the leadership team, but also you. And we mentioned this last week. Really important to us as we go forward and we discern God's voice and where the Holy Spirit is leading us, to have your input in the middle of that, because we're a praying church and we want to hear from the Holy Spirit. And it's not always going to come from the top. Sometimes it's going to come from you guys. And even last week after the service, Jaden, can you just get up so that everyone knows who we're talking about? Just get up and give me a wave. There he is. I told him I loved his hair today. It was awesome. Jaden, last week after the service, he came up because we had a reminder last week of last fall and the Nehemiah sermon that was kind of like the turning point of where we were going to go as a church and where healing was going to start taking place and where we were going to start walking in what the Spirit had for us. And it was a very important sermon, I think. And again, I preached it. I'm not patting myself on the back or anything. That was all Holy Spirit stuff. And I just got to be the guy that said it. But what I didn't mention last week, because we talked about the idea of rebuilding walls and all that, but Jaden reminded me last week, and it was a word from God, because he said, "Hey, I think God's put this on my heart, and I have to tell you right now." And he said, "Remember that was the time that our church stepped into the 52 days of prayer, because it took 52 days to rebuild the walls." And so we stepped into 52 days of prayer, and that set the tone for where we were going to move as a church over the next several months, and that hasn't changed. So thanks, Jaden, because, again, The Spirit will speak to the leadership, but the Spirit will also lead through the body. And so that's why we did it the way we did it, because we wanted you to be part of this. We're going together, and that's what we've said several times. We go together, and it is our hashtag. I know we will come up with the shirts. I said it last week. Just, I'm going on sabbatical. I'll have some more time. I'll make some shirts, and I'll only charge you, there's an inheritance coming in. $200 a shirt. With my youth for Christ, never mind, I won't go there. So that's just a reminder of where we were last week, some of the conversation that we had last week. We talked about some of the pillars that we're going to establish, and now today we just want to finish that conversation, Doug. And so we're looking at the first pillar that we're going to be looking at here as we kind of chat about it and bring you guys along in this conversation is the idea that we are planted. We are planted. And that is one of the foundational pillars that we want to build on. And so, Doug, as I look at my notes, is it me or you? Oh, it's me. No, it's you. It's
you
me.
Sure?
I'm looking.
Yeah.
I have my notes.
He'd like to say something.
I would.
Not sure what.
Here it is. The first thing that we want to do is this, a reminder of last week actually, is the fact that we talked about that we want to establish Christ-centered environments as a church body. We want to do that everywhere we go, not just within the building and within this structure on Sunday morning, but we want to be able to go and create Christ-centered environments everywhere we go, where we work, where we play, where we rest, in our families, in our jobs, with our neighbors. Everywhere we go, we want to change and impact the atmosphere. And we want to turn that into a Christ-centered atmosphere. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that by shining brightly. How do you shine brightly? Well, you get out there. You get outside of the walls. And it's not about Sunday morning gospel, but Monday morning gospel. Because Sunday morning gospel, we can do that pretty well. And it's good. We said that last week. Sunday morning gospel is a good thing. But Monday morning gospel and Tuesday morning gospel and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday are very important. That's gospel stuff. That's how we shine brightly. We're committed to prayer. We know that. We know that as a church, we're landing on prayer. Like, we land on prayer all the time, and we want to land on prayer even more than ever. And we have our prayer boards up here. For those of you who haven't seen them, we have a board over here that says what our prayer requests are. We have a board over here where we're constantly moving over our prayer requests that have been answered. I was going to put that out today because we have one in our family that we wanted to move over. But because Ruby Girl isn't here today because she's living the hard life at the lake, we didn't want to do it because it's her prayer request. And so we want her to be able to move it. So we are. We're committed to prayer. And then vibrant worship. Worship's important. Worship is important. We get to meet with God in the middle of that. We're worshiping him. And because he's so gracious, what he does in the middle of us trying to worship him is that he actually spends that time renewing us and restoring us. And even though we think we're giving, he's still giving to us. And that's super important for us as a church. And so those are some of the things that we already talked about. And as we move along, can we go to the next slide, please? Oh, I can't read that.
Turn around.
I have my progressives. There's no way I would pass the test if that's what I had to do. There it is.
It says deeply rooted in
Gorge and Tillicum. Douglas, I know this is you.
Yeah. Hi. You know what? When we first started talking about this, and the thing I loved so much about it was that so many people were involved in the vision of where we wanted City Light to go. Mm-hmm. And asking the question, where could we be if Jesus had his way? We have our way. Who knows? We'd be meeting on Sundays, and that's a good thing. But as Claudio just said, it's not Sunday. Sunday's a time of celebration for us, a time where we can get together. I came what I thought was unbelievably early this morning only to find a whole bunch of people here. I got here at 8:30. You know, that's pretty early. And there's a bunch of people here. And it's wonderful. I had an opportunity to talk to people, and it's great. But it's Monday tomorrow. It's Canada Day tomorrow. It's Tuesday. We have to go and do rather than just sit and be thankful.
Right.
You know, make me an instrument. I was thinking about that song. Make me an instrument. To what end? So I can sound pretty? That's not it. We got to get out and we got to get going. Our mission begins right here in Gorge Tillicum area. This is a great area. We had an opportunity when we were at Queens Avenue. Guess where Queens Avenue Church was located? There you go. So we went from Queens Avenue and we went on to Spectrum School. But thinking ahead, we knew what we should do, and we bought property on West Saanich Road. Real nice piece of property on West Saanich Road. Lots of spot to build a church and to have a go. That didn't work out. So the Anglicans at the time decided that they were going to be getting rid of a couple of different churches. Actually, I think at the time that we were looking, there's three different churches they were looking at selling. And I can remember going over. It was a great day because I still had my motorcycle. I can remember riding from church to church with Pastor Stu to see where we would set up. There was a really nice, more modern building in View Royal. Bigger, nicer. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. And God put us at 550 Obed Avenue in the heart of the municipality of Saanich. We're planted here. You guys talked a bit about that last week.
Right.
But right now, here is where he's put us. And by us, I mean everybody that's here. You're visiting right now. You've been here forever. It doesn't matter. God has got you here today, and he wants to put something in our lives so that we can go and we can turn things out. Our purpose, first of all, we're planted here, but our purpose is becoming community partners with people.
Right.
This isn't your regular Sunday, by the way. I guess you know that by now. But we're planted here to be community partners. Now, some people would look and go, well, that means our rentals. And we have, do you know that we have 8 different groups plus us, or plus us, that use this church during the week? How many knew there was a total of 9 of us that were show off?
You live across the street, that's right. So you would know.
She's spying on us. We have a purpose, though, and we have some that are rentals because they like our floor. Believe it or not, they like our floor, and it is a source of income for our church. They are in the community, perhaps, but that's not what I'm talking about with community partners. I'm talking about with community partners that little steps down at the end of the street, working with autistic kids, they needed more room. And yeah, we have a rental agreement with them, but they have the opportunity to use our facilities. The facilities were adapted so that it would be better for them. That is becoming a partner within the community.
Right.
We have coming up, I just found out, Sandra, if you ever happen to be on our website watching this, I'm meeting with a neighbor here by the name of Sandra. We're meeting on July the 12th, and we're joining up again with Blockwatch in the area. It's a program, I'm sure everybody knows about Blockwatch. It's a program sponsored by the Saanich Police in this area. And we've been invited to get involved with them again. We used to be involved with them, and we were here for, they want to change the name of it, but it was called A Christmas Light Up.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That's turning the Christmas lights on.
Yes, I know
yeah,
what that
okay.
is.
Yeah, okay, okay.
What?
Just so
why
we know
do you ask me for clarity? What else could light up mean, Doug?
I've heard.
I haven't.
Oh, really?
So we're in different boats.
Yeah. So we have an opportunity to be involved with the Christmas light up here on July the 12th when I get to meet with Sandra. We're talking about the newest 2024 Block Watch party. Where do you think they want to have it at?
And no. We don't like to party at all.
Yeah. Yeah, if the community gets to know how staid in the wool we are, then they probably won't enjoy it. But, yeah, they're hoping that we can use the building. That's community partnership.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Jerusalem. Yeah. That's right here, right now for us.
Yeah.
We have in our area, regarding community partnerships, we've got the Native Friendship Center
yep.
just down the way. Jane, you went there a couple of weeks ago or so and went through an introduction there. Amazing opportunities through that. We have a group called VERCS. Do you know what that stands for?
Yes.
He just liked me to say it for him. The Victoria Immigrant and Refugee Center Society. And VERCS has started meeting here on Thursdays to teach English. What a great,
yeah.
great opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
And we were talking this week, Claudio and I, there's another group in town called ICA, which is the Intercultural Association. They do something called Conversation Buddies.
Right.
So what would happen if VERCS was here and they're teaching English and they need somebody that can speak English and have a conversation with them where they're not in a tough spot trying to get something, just learning English, and they're trying to buy something at the store or whatever? What happens if Simon decides that he's going to be a conversation buddy with somebody and sit down over coffee and talk about whatever? That's a great opportunity. That's being yeah. part of the. That's being part of the community.
100%.
So we're sharing what we can share.
Yeah.
And there's all different kinds of things that we can share. We can share the facility, and that seems to be the natural thing, especially here, with. It's. The community again isn't, the sole rental thing. We share right now with AA, we share with Girl Guides,
right.
we share with Little Steps, we have the house meeting here, and right now we're sharing with VERCS. Those, none of them are paying what is a commercial rate, by the way,
right.
at all. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because we want to be a blessing in somebody's life. So that's sharing. I guess the question that I had, and I think it might even be up on the slide, what about sharing without expectation? Is that not there?
It's in your notes.
Oh, okay. It's in.
But it's a great question.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good. There, I got his blessing. What is sharing without expectation? Yeah. I thought it might be a crowd thing. Sorry?
Oh, you're waiting for a response.
Grace?
Sure.
Grace? Yeah. What else? Give me what comes to your head. You're going to share something without the expectation of
giving.
Yeah. True giving, for That's sure. True. It's, we want to share. We don't, I keep going back to the rentals, and I'm sorry, but we give this space to a dance group. They pay us X amount of money.
Right.
That's not giving. That's you're receiving for what you've been doing or what you paid for. But we have the opportunity, and we want to share without expectation.
Yeah.
We want to give. We need to give from our hearts without expectation. We can reel people in, or we can serve people. I think we should serve people.
I think serving's a good place to land, for sure. I love the idea of our partnerships. I love the idea of partnerships without expectation. And here's why. We talk about community. We talk about relationship. We talk about the idea that relationship is what grows space for mission or for ministry, for lack of a better term. And how are you going to build relationship if you don't open the doors to people? And if you only open the door to even like-minded people, well, we're only going to have these people in. But this community is built and made up of the whole spectrum of people. And Jesus is telling us, hey, go love everybody. Love God and then love everybody. Like, that's what Jesus is telling us. Like, if you want to boil it down to, like, you know, just bottom line, what's Jesus say? Love God with everything you are and then love everybody. And so for me, the idea of community, the idea of opening the doors, the idea of bringing people in is exactly that. It's the hands and feet. It's like, hey, get off your seat and love people. Okay, well, here's a way we can do it. We're blessed with this space. We're blessed with what we have here. We're blessed with the assets that we have. We're blessed with the resources that we have. The many talents that we have in this congregation. You guys are talented. You guys are gifted. Like, God has given you gifts that you don't even realize you have yet. And he wants you to walk in that stuff. And he wants you to use those resources. What better way to use our resources, God-given, than to love people? Like, so for me, the idea of community and partnering, that is just relationship. Like, oh, I love relationship. Who doesn't want to be in relationship with people when that's what we're made for? That's in our DNA. Like, that's how we're created. If we're not walking in relationship, we're walking outside of the plan of the kingdom of God. And so when God is saying, hey, I want you to help me build my kingdom, I'm going to invite you into that. Then it's about relationship. And this is we're set up for something like that. So that, to me, is super important, Doug.
Can I just throw in here, Jeremiah 27, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city.
Yeah.
Didn't say retire, and now would be a good time for you to take a shot at those of us who are retired, who have put in more time than you can imagine, who have, anyway... Work for the peace and prosperity of the city. And then it drops down and says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord.
Right.
They're plans of disaster. No, that's not what it says. They're plans for good and not for disaster.
Yeah.
And to give you a future and a hope. And if our future and our hope is just for us, we're missing the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so what we're talking about here is that we're planted. Like, that's our second pillar. As we look forward into our vision, our first pillar was that we establish Christ-centered environments, right? We're little houses of worship that go all over the place, right? That's our first pillar. Our second one is exactly that. We're planted. We're planted here. This is where God has us. God puts you in place on time and on purpose. I really do believe that. On time and on purpose. It's not an accident. They're miracles. Anytime you find yourself in that place, and then God has these divine moments. So that's our second pillar. And what makes up that pillar as well is this idea of, I think you can go to the next one here, Judah. I think, yes. Unwavering in our commitment to vision and our values. So we're unwavering. We've gone through this process. We're going through this process. You're trusting us as a leadership to put some of this stuff down and make it more solid. And then now what we're going to do is we're going to be committed to this. We're not going to change our minds in 6 months. We're not going to change our minds in 6 months after that. We're going ahead with this. This is, again, the little church that could. And so we want to be unwavering in that. We don't want the flavor of the week to change our minds. We don't want the waves to push us around from side to side. Part of that is that we're established in the Word of God and that we're established in prayer. And so we're committed to this. And because we're committed to, we want to be committed to our vision and our values, then what we need for our folks, for all of us, us included, is that we need to have clarity. We need to be able to see clearly who we are. Like, who are we as City Light? Where are we going as City Light? And why are we going there? So, and that's what we've been doing. And that's what we're going to be teaching out throughout the summer is, who are we? We are the light in this neighborhood. We are the change makers in this neighborhood. We are the seed planters in this neighborhood. We are the lovers of this neighborhood. These are the things that we're going to be touching on. Where are we going? Well, we're going to go into relationship. We're going to go outside of the building. Again, I always go back to the idea of where we are on this street. So on this street, we're literally surrounded by houses. Like, we share what's called like a good neighbor fence with our neighbors, like on either side. It's not necessarily a commercial space. Like, I can go over here and I can talk to the neighbor across the fence as I'm stealing apples. No, I'm not stealing his. I'm not stealing his apples. I have apples at home. Hers. I'm not stealing her apples. Or I'm not. I really like my neighbor on this side because he's a Flames fan. And so I've had a chat about the Flames with him a few times. But where are we going? We're going past these walls. Like, we're going past this. This is good, but it can be better. And so we need to have clarity. Why are we going past this? What's that going to look like? What are the things that we're going to do? And then why? Why are we going there? Why are we doing the things we're doing? Why are we saying yes to the things that we're going to say yes to? And at the same time, why are we going to say no to some things? Because that'll happen as well. And we all want to be really clear about that. And sometimes it's going to be like, but that's a really good ministry. Why aren't we doing that thing? That's a really good way to bring people in. How come we're not doing that thing? And the reality is that we're going to say no to some things, but not just because we feel like it doesn't fit us, but because, again, we're a praying church. And we're asking for discernment from the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit is leading you in ways, then the Spirit is going to say yes here and no here. And we have to be clear about that. And we have to be understanding, and we have to have space for each other in the middle of the yes and in the middle of the no. And what we would, the reason why we want clarity on that is the reality is sometimes what happens with people is that when we hear the no, then we say, well, I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to go home. And that's not really being part of the kingdom plan, is it? And so we want to have clarity in the middle of those moments. We want to know, hey, why are we saying yes? Why are we saying no? What we want is everyone to have a super clear picture and understanding of who City Light is. Why is that? Because when you're out there in the world outside of this building and you're having a conversation with your neighbor or you're having a conversation with your coworker or you're having conversations with anybody within your relationship circle, and they are, and you're trying to invite them to City Light, you have to have an answer when they ask you, what is City Light all about? Well, I don't know. We have a good time, and Claudio tells a couple jokes at the front at Doug's expense, and it's good for a laugh for about an hour and a half on Sunday morning, and it's good to laugh, and then I go home. No, we want to, when we're inviting people to the table, we want them to know what they're in for. We want them to know what the meal looks like. We want them to know why we have space at the table for them. And so this is something that we're going to work on as the summer goes along in our series. We're all going to walk away from this, and we're all going to be able to give an answer. Hey, what, you're inviting me to that church? What's it all about? Well, here it is. And we're going to lay it out. And so I think that's super important that we move in that way. If you can move to the next slide, Judah, that would be great. Doug, that's you.
Hi, my name's Doug. Ecclesiastes, I love it.
Just so you can tell, we rehearsed all week. We really did. We had it nailed down. I felt like we were in grade 8 drama class all over again. Except for we were in grade 8 drama class at different times. You know, the 1910s, the 1980s, a little different.
Okay, moving along, as we learned, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person fails, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls all or alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two standing back to back can conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken.
Right.
I'm going to go to my next set of notes here.
Well done.
So the header there is the purposeful partnership of like-minded ministries and organizations. My question was, who are the like-minded ministries and organizations?
Right.
Who do you think, I mean, when I think about this, would I put Virks as a like-minded?
Yes.
I would hope so, because they're reaching out to help people. That's kind of what we want to do. At least I certainly hope we do. I was looking, because I'm not that clever on my own, collaborative in the Cambridge Dictionary. I'm gonna stop right here.
You asked me that question.
Something, being collaborative, something involving two or more people working together for a special service.
Right, yeah.
We want to be collaborative in here. That's why when we first started this, it was it a third of everybody?
Yeah.
It was just, I think, just over a third of all of our people here were involved in this vision.
Yeah.
And we want to be collaborative. We want to work at it together. We want to know, where would Jesus have us be 5 years from now? I honestly hadn't thought about that question until we started this, and now I get excited about it because I think it's surpassing what I've had thinking about. So being Christ-centered, Colossians 2:13 says, "In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." I used to be employed. And I worked for the municipality of Saanich. There you go. This particular area happens to be very familiar to me. Those of you that don't know, I was a police officer with Saanich for 25 years. And this right here was my favorite area. We could work in North Saanich. Not the municipality of North Saanich, but north of this Saanich, East Saanich, Central, West. This is West Saanich, and I loved it. I found the people here to be really true, honest, down-to-earth people. People that had struggles, people that had sense of humor. I can remember stopping, it just came to my mind, so I have to share it. I remember stopping a guy one night, a young kid, and we were having an interaction, and he said, "I pay your salary." Like, that's the first time I'd heard that, and I said, so I said, how do you pay my salary? I thought that was a good question because he wasn't a homeowner or anything. I thought, you know, I'm going to ask. Without missing a beat, he said, "I buy chocolate bars and pay tax on them." I got to tell you, he got a free pass. He was gone. I loved it. He made me laugh. Oh, dear. So this is a great, great area to be. And I'm thankful that... little did I know, long before we bought 550 Obed, I had put in a number of years working in this particular area. When asked where I'd like to work, I always said here. I won't tell you the reasons why I didn't appreciate the other ones, but I didn't. So we need to be creative, too.
Yeah.
We need to be creative. Wait a minute. My wife and son are talking.
In the middle of this?
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
And my wife said something, and my son said, "I know." I think she said, "Doug's talking too much."
No, it's your slide.
Okay, it's my turn. Oh, wow.
If you're visiting today, by the way, this is normal. There's a lot of interaction that happens. It's like middle school.
coming up to me. We want to be creative. We want to think outside the box.
Yeah.
We want things to not be normal. What's going to set us apart from others? What is it? Hopefully the first thing is that when people look, and Claudio had talked about this a couple of Sundays ago, Jesus was out at parties. He was eating, drinking with those around him, not the religious crowd.
Right.
He was with the people.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I'd like to be with the people. That was one of the things I loved about my work, and still have friends, yes, that I worked with, but still have friends that I can call friends that I even arrested. We got along fine. It's true. You ask Jane. We have one person come to our house on a regular basis. First time I met her, I arrested her. And now she comes and has coffee with us and loves on our dog and puts up with me. It's pretty good.
It's good.
So a person who's creative at his work shows sensitivity and imagination. I'm not sure how I do in the imagination part. Claudio may have pointed out that I'm a bit older than him. My imagination isn't quite as strong, although I imagine being younger than you. But
do you?
Oh, this is my day.
just one of us, I guess, hey? Thanks for visiting today. I appreciate it.
And everybody said, thank you. Oh, dear. Some words associated with creative people. They're passionate.
Yeah, it's good.
Creative people are passionate.
Yeah.
They're objective. Yeah. They haven't got that predetermined, this is the way it's going to be.
Right.
They're realistic.
Yeah.
They're energetic. And they're focused. That pretty much described Claudio until we got to the focused part.
Oh. What?
Who are like-minded ministries and organizations and people? That's who we want to team up with.
For sure, yeah.
We want, as City Light, to team up with those people so that we don't have to lay a bunch of groundwork. Groundwork's important, so important. But if they're already on the same level and groundwork that we're at, giddy up.
Right.
Yeah, and I love the idea of creativity. We have some creative people here. Like, when we do stuff here, people go all out, and they do stuff. We just had our Wingapalooza for Father's Day. Like, and that was our first annual, and we were super intentional about calling it our first annual.
How did you do in that?
Well, I took it easy on my competitors, and I just wanted someone else to win because it's not all about me. And so
Claudio lost.
I went through a lot of rounds, to be honest. But the idea was, we hosted this event. We came up with this event. We called it Wingapalooza. It's Father's Day. We had our show and shine. And the reason I bring that up is because what we vision for something like that is connection with our community. And so next year, we expect that will be bigger. This year, it was mostly in-house and just for bragging rights and all that sort of stuff. But what we'd love to see is our second annual one, and our third, and our fourth, and our fifth, and all of a sudden that becomes a community event every year with our community. Our mission field goes, hey, it's almost coming. It's almost Father's Day. It's almost time for that City Light Church to do their annual Father's Day wing eating contest. We can't wait to be there. Hey, you know what? This year we're going to have a band. We're going to have some music going outside. And we're going to have some stuff for the kids outside. And we're going to have more cars outside. And we're going to have more people in here cheering and yelling and walking up to their nickname that we give them and their music that we play at, like a baseball game with their walk-up music. And it's going to be chaotic. And it's not going to be all completely under control as much as we'd like. But what it's going to be an event that people come to and go, oh, that I want to be part of what's happening there. and it's impact, right? It's impacting your community. So when we say creative, I love the idea of what can come from that. Like I look at someone like Cheryl. Like Cheryl's creative. Cheryl came up with the idea to have all the kids at the lake yesterday and do this thing. And Cheryl's the one that says, hey, we should have a garage sale for all the community and set it all up. And she comes up with these plans. And I'm like, oh man, like you have these things. Let's sit down and talk about them. And then let's find out how we can run with this stuff. Like, let's find out how we can run with this stuff. So creative, for sure. I love the idea of that. Yeah. I'm not that creative, so. Well, I can be, but just with my words. And so, again, this idea of community commitment, community building, community partnerships, bringing in people like Virx. Like, I'm excited for Virx to be here, and I want to come in and visit them and be part of their classes, if you can be, because English isn't my first language, if you can't tell. And so I'd love to be at an English learning speaking class, for sure, or conversational English. What happens is, all of a sudden, we're not sitting in our seats waiting for the Sunday morning show, for lack of a better term, but now we're out of our seats. Now we're in the game. And so Sunday morning is always the halftime for me in the middle of the game. Here's where we come and celebrate, and we come and worship, and we come and thank God for all the good things. And then Monday comes, and we get out of our seats, and we're in the game again. And so these things are going to open up the opportunities for us to get out of our seats and get in the game. Who doesn't want to be part of the game? I hate sitting on the sideline watching a game. I want to go around and kick the soccer ball, not with my 16-year-old, because he makes me look like a pylon, but regardless, I want to go out and, so I do it with middle school kids because I can push them around.
I read a book once.
It was called, well done.
Just once, yeah. Thank
you. You can give him a hand. He read a book once, okay.
There was pictures. It's called Church is a Team Sport.
Yes, yeah.
It's a great book. Church is a team sport. It's not an individual sport.
Yeah.
It's not just for the pastor, is it?
No. So, well, I can see the clock moving along here, and you guys are probably going, are these guys ever going to finish? Well, you're stuck here now because we're still up here, so sorry about your luck. We'll move on for sure. And the thing is, what we're giving you here today is the overall view, right? We want to make this bite-sized for you, and that's why it's going to be a preaching series as we go into the summer, so that we can look at this stuff and go, okay, now I can handle this. It's bite-sized. I see what this means for me. But again, today is just like the overview of what we're talking about. So our last pillar that we do want to talk about, slide 11, I think that's where we're at, Judah. Producing good fruit and lasting fruit. So that's our third pillar. We produce good fruit. And you can move on to the next one for me. Excellent, thanks. I look at it like I'm reading, eh? I already told you guys I can't see anything up there, but I'm a good actor. Oh yeah, it says this. We produce good fruit. How are we going to do that? Well, discipling and mentoring. Discipling and mentoring, because it's people. We're doing people work. We're working with people, around people, together with people. And how do you do that? You do that with mentoring, and you do that with discipling. Mentoring is a huge thing for me. Again, I'm a youth worker. Like you guys, most of you know, so those of you who are visiting, I work with Youth for Christ. I work in schools. I work in middle schools. Mentoring is a huge thing. And sometimes we think it has to be you up at the front teaching, and it can only look like that. And that's not really how mentoring works. Mentoring works by walking alongside of people in life. And being available and hearing them. A lot of the mentoring that I do happens on the soccer field with my kids. I'm reminding them about character and behavior and language and how to treat each other and how to treat themselves. I do a lot of my mentoring in my breakfast program. And hey, what does this look like hanging out with you and hearing about your stories? And how was your week? And how was your weekend? And what are you looking forward to? These are important things. And because we're in the people business, we want to walk alongside of people as much as we can. So discipleship for me is life groups. Life groups is what we call our small groups here. Again, if you don't know, or if you're new, or if you're visiting, our life groups, because we're doing what? We're doing life together. We don't have to do it on our own. You don't have to do your faith journey alone. It doesn't matter where you are on your faith journey. You're invited to the table, and then we go together. And so life groups is a super important part of that for us here at City Light. We gather once a week, and then we get to be with people, and we get to grow with people, and we get to encourage each other, and we get to have a safe space where we can come with our stuff and our garbage and our hurts and our the things that have insulted us and our offenses, and we can come with our stuff that we're celebrating. And that's what happens in life group. That's where we have some hard conversations. Like, we have some super hard conversations in our life group, and we walk through it, and it gives us space for correction. Like, sometimes that has to happen. Sometimes we need correction in our lives, and that gives us the space. And what happens within our life group is that we build equity. We build relational equity with each other, and then we can speak into each other's lives because we've done that. We've built this equity where we can go, hey, you know what? We should probably have a conversation about some of these thoughts or some of these behaviors. Or, hey, let's talk about some of these feelings. But at the same time, what comes from that is the space for encouragement. Like, you can sit with people and you can love them. And you can say, hey, okay, we didn't get it right this time. Let's get back up and let's try it again. That space at the table is still there for you. You don't have to walk away from it. You don't have to worry about it. Let's keep moving. Let's grow together. That's discipleship. That's mentorship. Let's go together. And then even then, it's a part of it is recognizing our gifts and abilities, like recognizing what some of us are good at. What are the giftings that we have? And then making space for people and empowering them to walk in those gifts and abilities. Like, if we recognize that you have something about you that is just outstanding, like, we want to make space for you to grow in that, because we believe that it's a gift from God. It's an ability that God has given you so you can help with the kingdom plan. Like, it's about the kingdom plan, right? And so we want to empower people in the middle of that. Hey, come on out and do this thing. Hey, you know what? You're good at the PowerPoint stuff and all that. Hey, we want you to walk in that. Hey, you're good at leading here. Let's do that. Hey, you're great at serving. Let's do that. And let's empower each other. And so mentoring and discipling, it really is about building that relational equity so that we can all move together in a direction. And again, that direction is about drawing closer to who God is, and then being able to go out into the world and go, hey, we get to be part of this kingdom plan. Like, for just a quick example, so we have Simon and Kathy Phillips here. They're away. They're on holidays. They're Kathy's in charge of our worship and all that. She's the one that does all sets up our teams and all that, the schedule and all that. What they've done over the last number of months is they've taken on our young people. And so, I'm invested because I have young people. And so they've taken our young people and they've taken them downstairs, and they have a space set up where it's all instruments and they have it all set up. And it's a jam set. It's a space to go jam. And these kids are down there on Sundays. Every Sunday, after Sunday, they're down there and they're, like, they're banging on drums and they're playing guitars and they're learning music and they're learning worship stuff. And they're literally every Sunday, usually I'm like, okay, like, it's like, I'm ready to go. But my kids are not ready to go because they're not just learning how to play instruments. What they're actually learning is the value and the depth of worship, right? And so Simon and Kathy, what they've done is they have their gift and their ability, and now they've seen young people within our body here, and all our young guys are down there, and yeah, they're not just learning how to play the guitar. They're learning how to use that as worship. Hey, I can be part of this faith journey. I can have a relationship with God, and I can have an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, and I can find my place within this body, because a couple from my church has said, hey, we have time and space for this, and we're going to walk in it. And now what we're seeing is that we're seeing our young people on the stage. So you have Ruby up here helping lead songs, and you have Judah playing drums, and you have Tidal playing guitar, and we're trying to get more of these kids up here. And that is the relational equity, and that's where we're taking people in that discipling and that mentoring. So we want that to be a huge part of who we are as a church, because we're not just building for today. What we're doing is we're building and creating what we think is generational and global impact. Like, that's where we want to go with it. If you want to just go to the last slide there, Judah, I would really appreciate that. Judah, that's my kid, by the way, anyways. He's doing a great job. So, that he's doing a good job?
No, that
he's great? Oh, that he's my kid?
Go ahead.
Is that what you want me to say? What we're talking about is we're creating a generational impact. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at generations. We're looking at what is it going to... We're talking about longevity, right? That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about what's this place going to look like in 5 years? That's what we started with. But we don't want to stop there, right? We were looking at it going, what's it going to look like in 10 years? What's it going to look like in 15 years? When we moved here 10 years ago, like we moved here from Calgary, my kids, Ruby was 6 months old. And Judah wasn't in school yet. And Lennon here was in grade two when we moved here. Now, this fall, Ruby is going into her last year of elementary school. Judah is starting high school, and Lennon is in his last year of high school. In like the blink of an eye, 10 years has gone by, and my little babies are all big babies. I just called you a big baby. It's in my notes. Call Lennon a big
Sorry,
baby.
Lennon.
I wrote it in my notes. I love when they give me the mic. So the thing is about time. Sorry, Doug. Just let me finish my thought. Now I want to hear what you have to say. I really
sure
do. My question is, how are my kids going to be impacted by City Light? That's my question as a parent here. How are my kids going to be impacted by City Light, but not for City Light, but for their faith journey and the future of their faith journey? Because the reality is, they might not be here in their 20s. Like, they may go and make their own way, but how will have City Light impacted their faith journey so that they still remain on a faith journey, just not necessarily here? If I had it my way, they would all be here forever, just not in my house. So then, when we talk about generational stuff, how is our faith here going to shape our mission field? How are we going to shape it? How are their faith journeys going to be impacted by who we are here and forward? Sorry, Doug, go ahead.
One last thing for me. I can't speak for him. We're preparing for something bigger than what we see today, the slide says. When I was looking at this, scripture came to my mind, and it was King James scripture.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true. I'm old. Proverbs 29:18, and this will sum it up for me. The reason we're doing all this, the Bible says, where there is no vision, people perish.
Yeah, yeah.
That's too great of a cost, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Doug. I think that's a wonderful place to finish up here this morning. And so, folks, we're excited for what we have. We're excited where we're going. We're excited that we're all going together. And, we invite you to be part of it. So there it is. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for sitting with us. There are some snacks back there. Have a wonderful long weekend. Tomorrow is Canada Day. Get out there and be Canadian. So have some maple syrup or whatever, eh? I know. I'm so Canadian. So enjoy your week. Enjoy your time. Next week, reminder, we don't have church. You can come, but we won't be here, and the door will be closed. If you want to worship in the parking lot, by all means, go right ahead. We have some snacks. Thanks so much. Blessings to you all.